scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Let us pray.
When it comes to computers, I am worse than my youngest granddaughter. I don't know how to operate that computer, and I don't even understand most of the messages that I get when I turn it on. Often I'll get an email or someone will send me something, and I'll go there, and there'll be a big warning. You may open this, but there are consequences, or something like that. And I close it. I don't want to risk it. And so warnings are always there. There are warnings about H1N1, and there are warnings about taking the flu shot or not taking the flu shot. And people often are confused by just looking at the warnings. No matter where you turn, you will hear, read, or see messages. Some good, some warning you about things, products, or people. And then there are messages that may lead to bad or evil things and acts. This morning we will look at the best message the human race ever received. There were messages of great importance given by angels. Angels are God's messengers. Actually, the Greek word is angelos, and the message is angelia, which means that the angelos brings angelia. The messenger brings a message. At that particular time of the human history, about 2,000 years ago. For example, when angels appeared to Zechariah, father of John, the angels said, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." So the message was, "Don't be afraid." And I thought about this before I brought this message to you. Am I going to give the wrong impression on the message is, "Don't be afraid"? And I'm not saying don't be scared. You can get scared. I mean, this morning I know Grace was scared when a piece of ice was fell right in front of her. And she was sort of sharing that with us. Yes, but the message is, don't be afraid. And I thought about it. Am I going to give the wrong impression, but that no matter what, don't be afraid? God is a God, loving God, and he will never punish you, never, there will be no consequences of your acts or anything like that. No, that's not the message. Because all these messages were given to people who were upright and godly, and people who responded to the word of God well. Now, also this morning we finished our study of the book of Malachi, and the Old Testament closes with a warning. God says, unless you do this, there will be consequences. So, Zechariah received a message, and the message was, don't be afraid. Then the angel spoke to Mary, mother of Jesus, and they said, don't be afraid, Mary. And then the angels went to Joseph, Mary's husband-to-be later on. Joseph, do not be afraid, they said. But when the angels appeared to a small group of shepherds, they had an extraordinary and wonderful message. An angel of the Lord, and I'm quoting verses 10 and 11, An angel of the Lord appeared to them and said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Now these shepherds on the hillside were minding their own business, and they expected nothing unusual. They were just being faithful in their duties. The encounter with angels shocked them, but they listened carefully and they obeyed. Few jobs in ancient Palestine were more undesirable than that of a hired shepherd. Long hours in the worst conditions, low pay, no status, and dangerous. Only those who could not get other work would hire themselves as shepherds. Certainly, these men were not expecting a heavenly messenger. Why would God send such an important message to men like these instead of the priests or high officials? Have you ever thought of that? Why is it that God, who sent his one and only Son, Jesus, would go to people that didn't know anything or not much about religion? Jesus came to a hotel. There was no room, so he went where the animals were. And then the angels went to a young girl. Well, before the angels went to a young girl who didn't know very much about the complicated doctrines of the temple, and she received the message, and she conceived the baby. And then when she went to the hotel, there was no room. And then when the angels came, they spoke to the shepherds, who had no idea of the workings of the religious elite of their country. And then later on, when Jesus chose his disciples, he chose fishermen and carpenters and people who are of the business, in the business world, because God wanted to show that he cared for every human being, the rich and the poor, men and women. Now let's look at some of these messages. First, the message of the angels to the shepherd was a personal message. And this personal message came to some people who'd never expected to hear from God. It spoke to their immediate needs. They were afraid. The angel said, "Don't be afraid." And I believe God knows exactly how to deal with every situation. God knew that that message had to be given, and yet he also knew that they would be surprised and afraid. And he told them, "Don't be afraid." And I believe let me just share with you this about fear. Yesterday someone called me who was asked to call me because of the help this person needed, family problems and difficulties and spiritual problems and difficulties. After I finished speaking to this person, I asked whether she goes to a church or not, and she said, "No, actually I'm a Muslim, but I've been reading the Bible. Someone gave me a Bible, and I would like to become a believer. I want to be born again." And that was a fearful decision, a decision that involved a lot of problems. This morning I was talking to the person who had suggested to this other person to speak to me, and I was told that there is great danger when someone of that background accepts a different religion. Now, I'm not here to say that some people are good, other people are bad, some religions are good and or bad, because there are good people in every religion and there are bad people in every religion, and yet there are some dangers and there are some consequences when you invite Christ in your life. Even among so-called Christian families, when their young people accept the Lord, invite the Lord in their heart, there is persecution. And I know this from personal experience after speaking to some Greek young man who had decided to follow Christ, and the persecution they received in their circles. God sent his message to the shepherds where they were. God meets us where we are. And I quote, "But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons." Galatians 4:4-5. And again, it's easy for me to get up here and preach, and it's easy for me to get up here and say the things that I think you want to hear, and yet I know the difficulties each one of us face daily to live a Christian life, and I know the difficulties we face daily at the workplace, and I know the difficulties that some of you may face in the family where you are. The persecution is going on everywhere. And I know also that the message is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because I am with you. It's like connecting to a power source that has enough power to drive any machine. It's like connecting to a power source that has enough power to light everything. It's like connecting to a power source where it can move everything. God himself. It's like these lights need a power source. And unless you plug them in the power source, there will be no light. That's how it is with a human heart. Unless that human heart is plugged in the power source and receives that power that needs to drive us, we will be almost dead and afraid of everything. The angel said, "A Savior has been born to you." The Savior was near and available right there in the city of David. And he is the all-sufficient Savior, Christ the Lord. A Savior for the shepherds and all other sinners. Unfortunately, sad to say, the churches and Christianity today has forgotten those promises that God is able to keep each one of us, that God is able to strengthen each one of us, not because we know all the doctrines, not because we are better people than other people, not because we, whatever commitments we have made, but because we have surrendered our lives and we have connected into the power source, and now we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and the message is, don't be afraid, follow me. So the first message that the angels gave was the message of the angels to the shepherds was a personal message. The second message is a message of praise. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man on whom his favor rests. Singing God's praises was not something new to the angels. In Job 38:7 we read, "While the morning stars sang together, and all the angels shouted for joy." As a matter of fact, the Bible says every time a human being, a soul, turns to God and invites God to come in his heart, in his soul, and every time he makes that commitment, there's a great, great big party in heaven. And the angels are rejoicing. So when we sing for during the Christmas period, we sing praises to God. As a matter of fact, this afternoon, right after lunch or during lunch, we will see a little more about the praises that God enables us to shout to Him or praise Him or pray to Him. And so the message was one of praise. Now, praise is to glorify, to thank, to show appreciation. The Bible says that heaven and all angels rejoice. The third message was a message of peace. On earth, peace. On earth, peace. Once again, I look around me and I listen to the news and I turn on the television and I hear that peace is not there. And I hear politicians and army chiefs and countries trying to negotiate peace. And yet there is no peace because the Prince of Peace is not there. The only peace we can have is when the Prince of Peace, the giver of all peace, comes into our lives, my personal life, my family life, my church's life, my country's life will change and become a different life because there is peace. That's what the angels did. I know all these messages sound so cliche. You've heard them many times, and this message, obviously, you've heard it before. You've read these verses before, and we rejoice together, and we sing together, and we eat together, and we do all these things. And yet, I believe sometimes, or if not often, we have missed the point, and that is lift up our eyes and look at God. Praise Him, thank Him, and for enabling us to see Him and hear His voice. You can imagine what this earth would have been if God would have cut Himself completely from us and He did not communicate. And even though He is here, I believe we still have problems in communicating with each other. We don't have that peace that the angels sang about. There had been no peace on earth since the fall of man. Now, finally, people can find peace with God through Jesus. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God and the peace of God in us is made possible by the one in the manger, Jesus Christ the Lord. That reminds me of a family situation long time ago, maybe 20 years ago, 25 years ago. I remember when we started reaching out into the community and some young people came and joined us, and there was a family and some friends who were members of a gang here, leather jacket and tattoos and all that, came and accepted the Lord, and they received the Lord in their lives and heart. And my wife invited them all to come for Christmas Eve celebrations in our home. It was a New Year's Eve celebrations in our home. And it was very interesting because there were people who had never celebrated New Year's Eve in a Christian setting, singing hymns or at least sharing thoughts and being sober. The following day when we met them, they said, you know what, this is the first New Year's celebration that we can remember, because all the other ones we can't remember because we were either doing drugs or being drunk or being miserable, and this is the first one that we were sober enough and able to appreciate the company. Well, that's what the angels were singing about. It was the new life that this message would bring into the lives of these shepherds and the world itself. Christ made peace and brought salvation at the cross for us all. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He actually has become our price and our peace. He has paid our price and has become our peace. In Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier that the dividing walls of hostility." Total and lasting peace is possible only through Christ, the Prince of Peace. The shepherds learned from the angels that they could know the Savior personally. They could have personal peace. And I believe the church and we must understand that religion does not save anyone, has not saved one, and will never save anyone. Church membership does not save anyone, has never saved anyone. There is not one man-made religion that can save anyone. Only the personal relationship with God will save. And this is what the angels wanted to make people understand. When they went to the shepherds, they received a very personal message, and they sang that message. And the shepherds believed the messengers, and the shepherds accepted the message and the invitation, and they went and worshiped Jesus. Yes, Jesus came to this earth, and yet the shepherds had to go to Jesus to receive that free gift. Well, this is exactly what happens in the church when we make an invitation for people to come to the front, or when we invite them to receive Christ wherever they are. What we say is, Jesus has come. Jesus is there. The price has been paid. And yet you have to make that move to go and accept that gift. It's like someone who has received a reward or a gift, and the person is shouting, "I have a gift for such and such a person." And unless that person comes to the front, he or she will not receive that gift. And that's what it is when we invite people to come to him. Would you like to have that, what actually the shepherds found at the manger? They found the Prince of Peace, the Savior. The message is same today. Do not be afraid. Come and receive peace, joy, and life. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for sending Jesus to become our Lord and Savior, to pay the price. Lord, the moment that Jesus was born, the cross had appeared already, because Jesus was born to die for our salvation. This morning we thank you and we praise your name for enabling us to hear the message and to accept the message. Our prayers are raised to you for your help to strengthen our faith, strengthen each one of us to be able to reflect you in our daily lives. I ask these things in your blessed name. Amen.